Danny, come get us started with your prayer request.
Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are in a brand new year. Last Sunday, we finished up 2023, and today we're in a brand new year. So we got a, so to speak, clean slate. We're starting out, and we thank God for his blessings on us. Thank God for each of you that has come this way, and we do have a lot of our folks that are sick, so we want to remember them today. Before we get too far into that, we'll remind you that in the bulletin you'll notice that our birthday offering for Jesus is going to continue through the month of January. So you feel led of the Lord to participate in that. Please remember that it's through January. So also we're looking forward to next Sunday when the preacher's going to have vision night, and he's going to be speaking and talking about what God has laid on his heart for this coming year. So let's pray about that. Let's pray that the Lord will give our pastor clear vision and clear course forward, okay? So again, it is good to see you this morning. Some's been out sick, but they're back, and we're glad for that. And as we look at our prayer list today, we could have a prayer list. If we mentioned everyone's name, that would be take up the whole class time. So we're going to try to concentrate a little bit on those here in the class. I know that probably by now y'all have heard that Jess Phipps' son passed away last night. And he had been very sick, and he passed away, and we give our hearts and our prayers out to the Phipps family as they go through this time. God promised that he would never leave us, he would never forsake us, and we know that during the time of death that God is still there, and God's will be done. And so we pray for the Jess Phipps family during this time. Also, talked a little bit this morning with Miss Bobby Briggs about Kim Brummett. And Kim is still undergoing treatment, and she has a little ways to go. She's finishing up some radiation, and then she'll start on her chemo. So y'all remember her in prayer. Also, we remember Pat Shaw, and Pat's been dealing with these issues in her life for many years now, and so we just keep her on our prayer list all the time. Also, Randy and Pat Scalf is, they have been afflicted with a lot of problems over the last couple of years, and we keep them in our prayers also. And then we have a lot of folks that are dealing with cancer, like Miss Kim is. So we would remember Sharon Harmon, Judy Whitson. We would remember others that have it outside of our class. But also we're praying for Jerry Scalf, and we're praying for Bill Magnus also. Bill is still waiting some procedures to be done at the end of January. So also Miss Frances Lawson, who is a member of our class, she got to come home from her rehab. She's been home about a week, and she went the other day, and they had to put her on some oxygen. So she's a little weak from all the rehab and everything, so remember her in prayer. And we know that Judy Martin's sister is still struggling with cancer. We're praying for her. Teresa Payne's mom. And by the way, Teresa's sick this morning, so remember her in prayer. But we're praying for her mom. And then Scott Dennison, who is looking at maybe another endoscopy. He is maybe having some return of cancer that was previously there, so we're praying for him at this time. So is there anyone else that has a prayer request that they would like to mention this morning? Yes, ma'am. Unspoken. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, well, let's pray for the service this morning. Pastor will come and bring to us what the Lord's laid on his heart. And let's remember Brother Steve. He's been faithful to come and teach to our class for a long time now. We appreciate him and thank God for him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your love. God, we thank you for that cross where your son came, Lord, and he went to and he died there, Lord, on the cross, and was buried, and in the third day, Lord, he arose again, Lord, for that for our sin, dear God, our justification. God, we pray, Lord, that people will hear the story and they will accept that in their heart. They will trust him. And Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings to us every day. Lord, we just know that you do things for us, God, that we don't even know about. And Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, as we start a brand new year, we pray, dear God, for our country. We pray, dear God, for the leaders. We pray, dear God, that you will work in their hearts, that you'll work in the things that's going on this earth. And Lord, that you will guide it, Lord, in the way that you see fit. Lord, thank you again for the honor and the privilege to live in America. God, thank you for the freedom we have. And Lord, I just pray now that you'll give us a good year this year. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We have so many people that are suffering illnesses that have lasted a long time. One thing, then the next. Corky, my mother-in-law, she fell this weekend and broke her hip. And she's in the hospital now, doing well, doing fine. And they have already got her up so that they'll... She'll be back at the nursing home here in the next day or two. So just pray for Corky DeBusk. Anyway, let's look again at this new year coming up. We pray for salvation for friends and neighbors and people that we know and family members. We need to pray that God will help us and guide us through the new year, through this coming year. We don't know what tomorrow has, but looking at Romans 8:28, we started there last week and at the beginning of it, and I'll read it. Let me just read it a little bit. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Now, you see, these verses have good words that say to them or us or who shall. So we have to look at ourselves when we read these verses because God gave them to us, gave them to the saved. We're talking here in these verses to people that are saved, to the church, which is the people of that day, and it speaks loudly for today. Works together for the good of them, there we are again, that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So the Lord is pointing straight to us in all these verses. Here in 29 it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn above many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." That's us again, them. "He called, and whom he called, them he also justified." He justified me and you. "And to whom he justified, then he also glorified." He is glorified because he died on the cross for you and I. And we ought to thank him for that glorification. We can get really in a bad place worrying about this or that or the world or talking about all the stuff that's going on. But salvation brings so much more to us than just salvation. And that's being very small about it, saying just salvation. That's big. I mean, he saved us for eternal hell. But we get so much more. Verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us in this world?" God is for us. Praise the Lord. I can get excited about God being for me. And think about, he is for you. I mean, what else could we want? What else could we pray for? God, help us. We always pray, "Lord, help me get through this. Help this person get through that." But God is for us. Who can be against us? "He spared not his own son." He spared not his own son. So first of all, we talked about God last week. God doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. The believer's standing cannot change. Once we're saved, we're in God's hands. And no one, no thing, and we'll talk about that here, will change that standing. This purpose of God that it talks about in these first three verses, it's God's plan for us. God, and he says there, he predestinated. He completely figured this out way in the beginning. In the eternity past, God had all this figured out, what he was going to do. Because he knew, he knows everything. He knew we were going to be sinners. And he knew that we needed to be sinners saved by grace. Not of ourselves. Nobody can boast that, the Bible says. We have to glorify God in what he did. I want to glorify God this year. We see this old world around us falling apart, but I'm going to glorify God for what he did for me on the cross. Be happy. We're so much, you know, I think about times that Brother Harry and I traveled into third world countries, up in northern Thailand on the Burma border, people living in chicken coops. We wouldn't even put our dogs in some of these places these people are living in. We have so much to be thankful for. We really do. God has blessed us immensely. Immensely. I'm so guilty of complaining and worrying about this or that. There is no one who can question whether God is for us. Why should we question it? That's a slap in God's face. We can be down and out and think, "Oh my." But God is for us. Since God is for us, who can be against us? It says there in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, you know, the devil's against us, but God's not going to let him be successful. Because of what God's done, we've beat death. We close our eyes here and wake up in his presence. How much better can that be? Way, way better. Praise the Lord for what he is and what he does every day for us. This obviously doesn't mean that that believers have no enemies. I mean, we know that the scriptures are clearly and teaches that there are enemies on our journey on this earth. The flesh and the devil, we still live with that. And this is no excuse. We are sinners saved by grace. Saved by grace. God's gift. You and I accepted that gift. Has everybody in here accepted that gift? I have. Pam has. We have something that's greater than all this old world can throw at us. And we can hold on to the Lord. We have a risen Savior. All power is given unto him. Let's read on here. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I can't fathom the words in that verse. It's sometimes hard for me to think that deeply about God. We can just go so far in our fleshly minds. Also give us all things. I mean, he delivered us, folks, from a penalty of sin that we inherited through the blood. He didn't spare his own son for us. God did not spare his own son. Have you ever, just think about that. I can get happy thinking about that, that I have a God that's alive in heaven that decided to let his son die for me and you. Make it personal. I mean, I can get happy about that. Praise the Lord for what he did for me. Some of these other religions in the world don't have that. In Thailand, at the international airport, when you get off the airplane, you walk down this corridor, beautiful, brand new airport. There is a God sitting in that hallway that is as long as this auditorium, and it is the ugliest looking lizard thing that you have ever seen. And there's people worshiping in that, laying flowers and food down at the foot of that thing. How could they have any peace worshiping something that's that ugly, thinking it's going to somehow help them, that's not alive, just an object? And then you go down down the hall, and there's another one there. Huge thing. Beautiful, painted and kept well right inside that international airport. But I have a God that is alive, not some statue somewhere, that saved my ever-dying soul. Praise the Lord for that. That we don't have to bow down to some object or some Buddha or some big lizard or some big turtle or something holding up the world. And just on and on and on, you see these things when you travel into the Far East. These people that don't believe in God, I just don't understand how they really get through the day. But praise the Lord for what He's done. He spared not His own Son for us. He delivered Him up for us all, there it says in verse 32. And then verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to our charge of God's elect? We're God's elect. See, these verses say a lot about who we are. We're His elect. It is God that justifieth. And you start thinking about that, I can start thinking in circles. God sitting there justifieth us to Himself through His Son's death that's sitting there at the right hand of God. Praise His name for being the God that He is. Praise His name. And this year, we need to look forward to this year living with that knowledge that who can be against us if God is for us? He delivered Him up for us all. Who shall He not also He freely give us all things? All things. If God is good, and we all say that, God's good all the time. Most of us have said that. And He has done the greatest thing for us. The greatest thing He has done is give His Son. So why would He hold back lesser things? You know, I have to get a grip on that. God's give His Son for me. And how can I think He's holding back something from me? It's God's will, God's plan. It may not be the best for me at this time, but it may be. See, sometimes we go through things and we don't understand why is He letting us go through this? But then if you really put these verses into action in your life, then I have to think that this is what God's plan is. And somehow, some way, He knows the future. He knows the past. He knows the future. Somehow, some way, He's going to work this out for His good and His glory. And I have to say, well, I want to be in God's will, and I want to be for His good and His glory. I want Him to use me for that. So how do we use these things in our life? How do we use this or that that's not been great to go through? We may come up against somebody that's going through the same thing that we went through 2 or 3 years ago or 4 or 5 years ago. And we can put our arm around them and say, brother, I know what you're going through. Let me pray for you. God can use these things that we've conquered in our lives with the help of the Lord to comfort others. We just need to look for those opportunities. And those opportunities may walk in front of us this year. Now let me tell you what. And most of you can testify to this. Is it not a good thing that a bad thing that you went through and you came through it and somebody comes to you and says, can you pray with me? Have you had that happen to you? Can you help me with this? I don't know how to deal with this. And God's put that person in your path, and you need to be ready for that. That's why God wants us to be read up and studied up and have verses on our tongue that we can say to someone in a grocery store, at a gas station, or wherever, at work. God gives us opportunities, and we need to take those, I call them golden moments, either with our children, our friends, or family. There's golden moments when hearts are soft, and we can really use God's word to touch people's hearts at that time. Maybe they're not saved, or maybe they are and they're just not trusting the Lord. We can help with that. We all know that we know what God's done for us. Sometimes we just forget that. Regardless of what happens in 2024, we need to hang on to the message of the cross. God loves you. God loves me. God loved us enough to send his own son. We need to hang on to that this year. It just seems like everybody, everywhere you go, in today's world, they're worried about this or that or wars and rumors of wars. We know it's all in the Bible. It's coming. And I know everybody's preaching, all the preachers. Everybody's sensitized to the point to where we believe that the Lord could come back any minute. That if you've studied Revelations and Daniel and all and Ezekiel and put it all together and see that what's going on in the Middle East is so coming together just like the Bible says. But do we have to worry about that? No, that's God's plan. He'll take care of that. He's going to. He said he would. If you know what's going to happen, he's going to step in and take care of all that. After Israel goes through some rough years, he will take care of that. And us. And we get to see all that. One way or the other. Whether we're raptured out or we are here till death takes us to heaven, we're going to get to see it. We're going to get to see what God does with the world. He makes intercession for us. Let's look at 33 there. Did I read that already? No, let me start there again. 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, who is going to lay that? You may run up against people that say, why do you go to church all the time? Why do you trust God? I mean, they're going to put questions. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He's justified me. People may say, whatever, I did this or that. Most of the time it's I don't think this, I don't think that. And in today's society, if I think it's the truth, it's the truth. No, what God's word said is the truth. Who is he that condemneth? Who is the person that condemneth you? Anybody? They may try, they may say words, but that don't do nothing against God's power. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Our God's alive, sitting at the right hand of God. Praise his name. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. So Christ is saying, now get this vision. For you personally, now you think about it, put your name in here. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And he knows Steve. He saved him when he was 13. Steve trusted what he did on the cross. And Steve sins. And then he asked God to forgive. He asked Christ to forgive him, God to forgive him. And Christ says, you're forgiven, you're covered. He looks over at his Father, God, and say, I know Steve messed up, but he trusted what I did on the cross. He justifies me to God. He justifies you to God. Think about that. What a wonderful relationship we have with Jesus Christ. It's so much more than just salvation. Intercession, I mean, just on and on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now this is God saying that. So, does that say it's going to be an easy road? No. But God's going to take care of it. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present things, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Does those verses cover everything? I mean, are we depending on his everlasting power? No peril, difficulties can separate us from the love of Christ. The Apostle Paul himself faced perils and difficulties, but he was able to deal with it in the New Testament. Trials and persecutions are not a sign that Christ has withdrawn his love. Don't let people say that. Nothing will withdraw God's love, Christ's love, the Trinity's love for you and I. Just some people think, well, he's involved in sin, you know, God's left him. There's people who believe that you have to get saved over and over and over. Well, you know, some churches that are like that. That's not the case. Once you're saved, you're saved. Christ's love overcomes all enemies, all things, all things. John 15:5 says, without me, ye can do nothing. Well, I want to do this year, I want to do some stuff. Don't get down, and I am so guilty from getting down and dealing with some of this business stuff. But without me, ye can do nothing, it says in John 15:5. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, in Philippians 4:13. You know, we just need to get in God's Word more and more to get strength and help and stay close to Him. And once we start staying close to Him, then we understand that that nothing that we will ever face can separate us from the love of God. Does death separate us from the love of God? It separates us from this world. You close your eyes here, you wake up in heaven in the presence of God, the presence of Jesus. How wonderful is that? It says no angels, no principalities, no powers. That refers to supernatural beings that works for Satan. Satan's organized kingdom of darkness. We know that the devil roams in this atmosphere. He's the prince and the power of this world, in this atmosphere, this heaven, the first heaven, which is the atmosphere of this earth. He is allowed, God allows it. There's coming a day that he will not allow it. So even all of Satan's powers and demons and all that's going on with him in this world that we have today can't separate us from God's love. Things present? No. He is, I am. I am what? I am. You can put anything in front of that or behind it in your life and say, God is, I am my Savior. God is, I am my strength. And on we could go. He is God. He is, I am. He is present, ever present. Things to come. Does God know everything? Do you believe that he knows everything? From the past to the present to the future? Of course he knows everything. And then it says heights and depths. Heights and depths. How deep is the ocean? I think over on the Pacific Rim, it's 7 miles and something deep. Pressure's unbelievable. Nothing can survive there. Heights? What's the height of the universe? Nothing. I mean, all the way to heaven. There's nothing there that can stop God's presence. Nothing. No heights, no depths. God can get... He created it all. No dimension. This height and depth can be looked at as time or space. You start looking at and reading and studying about relativity and time, space, continuum. Time was created for this world. God's eternal. There is no time. We burn in time. We are living in time. Our lives are running out in time. But once you're in God's presence, you won't even know what time means. It's eternal, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. How powerful is that? Boy, that right there, for people that are not saved, ought to be really scary, because that forever and ever in heaven is all forever and ever in hell. People ought to wake up. They have some things facing them if they're not saved. There is absolutely, in that verse, there is no loophole There is no creature, there's no nothing that'll separate us from God's love. God is for us. God loves us. Nothing on earth, nothing above, nothing below can pry us loose from His love. Isn't that, it's amazing. It's hard to think about because we're fleshly. God's God. But I tell you what, I'm going to claim His promises this year. I'm going to believe that, trust that, trust those verses, put my name in as whose and they. And I'm going to trust God all that's coming. All that's coming. Some of you have surgeries facing you. This one or that one. We've got friends that are sick. Loved ones that are sick. I'm going to trust God because He's not going to leave us or forsake us. God knows what's coming. And I'd rather it be in God's hands than mine. Let's just praise His name this year and look to Him in this new year and hold on to His promises in God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love, and God, I thank You for Your salvation. Oh my, what a wonderful gift salvation is. So much comes with salvation. Not just saving us from hell is big, but all the security and all the promises and the power of nothing can separate us from Your love. Lord, I love You for that. Lord, help us all this year to look to You as we go forward into a new year. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.